Welcome to the online worship service here at Park Ridge Presbyterian Church. My name is Amanda. I'm one of the pastors here, and I'm excited that you found us online and decided to worship with us today. We're so grateful for our online worship service that it connects us to one another and connects us to God. If you haven't made it to worship with us in person yet, we invite you to make that your next step. Our online service, it does help us connect to God and it helps us worship, but something different happens when we worship together, gathered together in the same space. So if you haven't worshiped with us before in person, we invite you to take that next step. We worship Sundays at 10 a.m. in our sanctuary here at Park Ridge Presbyterian Church. And if you haven't taken a next step to fill out the I'm New Here form, let us know that you're out there. Let us know that you're listening, that you're watching, that you're one of us. We invite you to take that next step. You can find that in the episode notes, and you can also find that over on our website, parkridgepresby.org/getconnected. If you are watching with us on a Sunday morning, it is Father's Day, so we want to say a special happy Father's Day to any dads out there that are watching, and we hope that you enjoy celebrating however you want to today. Days like today, Father's Day, Mother's Day, they can bring up all different kinds of feelings for us based on whether our dads are still around, whether we had good relationships with them, whether we want to be a dad and we're not yet, right? Feelings can be joyous around days like this, full of love and celebration, or they can be full of, you know, grief and disappointment and regret, right? And however you are feeling today makes perfect sense for what you have been through. However you feel about a Mother's Day or a Father's Day makes sense. We don't need to sugarcoat it. We don't need to gloss over it. If today makes you feel a little uncomfortable or just not that celebratory, that is okay. One of the things that makes the church so special is that the church brings more family into our lives. So whether you have a great relationship with your dad, whether you miss your dad because he's already passed, or whether you have a really complicated relationship with your dad, it doesn't matter. The church is here to fill in and come alongside you and bring more people into your life to be like family. Church at its best is like family. Going back throughout scripture, family is so important. And throughout the Old Testament, connecting to a family line is so important. Family lineage was so important. God made a covenant with Abraham that Abraham's family would be huge, that he would bless Abraham through his family. He took him outside and he said, "Look up at the stars and count them. If you can even do that, that's how big your family is going to be." And throughout the Old Testament, people would go back to that promise, that covenant, that lineage, and want to be connected to that. Being connected to God's family through Abraham was like that promise was being made to you too. And then in the New Testament, that theme of being like family is expanded, and it goes even farther. And it says that by being a part of the church, by being a believer, you're being like brothers and sisters in Christ. You are being bonded like family. When we celebrate baptism, we're celebrating that we are bringing people into the family of God. We're claiming that we're like God's children, and we're claiming that belief and that identity. And it's not just like your family you see once a year and you can come to Christmas dinner. This is like we're putting you in the will. We are together. You are one of us kind of family. To be a follower of Christ, to be a member of a Christian community, is to be like real family. And that means that it comes with all the messiness and the complicated dynamics that a real family can come with, but it also comes with the same loyalty and grace and unconditional love and intergenerational wisdom that families come with. In my own experience, and what I know from the experiences you share with me, is that there is something unique about the church community that is different than the baseball team and the dance studio and the moms group, and it's different than Kiwanis and Rotary and the nonprofit board you serve on. While the church can feel similar to a lot of those spaces, there is something different. There is something set apart about the kind of community that exists in the Christian community, in the church. I think that no matter what your family attachments are, whatever you might be carrying with you into days like today, I think if we're faithful to showing up and to really being a part of the church, that over a span of time, we will see that God brings people into our lives to play particular roles and fill in maybe gaps that exist in our family connections. Today's scripture passage speaks to a dynamic like this. Our reading today comes from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 to 7, and this is what it says. I, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, for the sake of the promises of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. I am grateful to God, whom I worship with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did, when I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. This is one of Paul's letters to Timothy, who is another disciple, another apostle sharing God's word with the world. Paul is sending this letter to Timothy as he is under house arrest. All the same issues that have come up when Paul's written previous letters about his ministry in Ephesus are coming up. They're still ongoing. There is this concern about false teachers, about leading people astray and people not following Christ's teaching in the church. And so Paul writes letters throughout the New Testament that are trying to draw people back to who Christ is calling them to be as the church, as the gathered Christian community. Paul is in particular writing to encourage Timothy to keep going, to keep striving in ministry, even though he's encountering obstacles. Ministry is hard, and it's hard to know if you're doing a good job. It's hard to know if it's working. Sometimes the evidence of God's work, of faith growing, of lives being changed, it's really invisible work. It's hard to track. It's hard to measure. And when you encounter obstacles, it can feel like God is not with you or God called the wrong person to do the job. But Paul has been through seasons of trial and challenging ministry. And so out of that experience, he is writing to encourage Timothy to keep going. Timothy and Paul's relationship is often pointed out as one that looks like mentorship. We meet Timothy first in Acts chapter 16 during Paul's second missionary journey. He's revisiting these churches that he had planted, and he's revisiting them for a second time, and that's when he meets Timothy. In his first missionary journey, Timothy's grandmother and mother, who Paul remembers and names by name in today's passage, became some of Paul's first converts and first believers in that first missionary journey. Throughout Paul's letters in the New Testament, we find him referring to Timothy as his co-worker, his son, his child, his brother. All of this implying a very close and loving relationship. Paul is seen as investing in Timothy from a young age, inviting him to be a part of ministry opportunities, and then eventually sending him out to be in ministry on his own. Timothy is built up in three unique ways, three distinct ways. There's the faith foundation he received in his upbringing. His mother Eunice, his grandmother Lois, instilled a faith in him. They passed on the faith that was important to them to Timothy. And next, there was something that God had given Timothy, something observable, some spiritual gift that made Paul stop and pay attention. The Greek word for this is charisma, and it means gift and is often used to describe spiritual gifts that are used for building up the body of Christ. So there is something spirit-led in Timothy that Paul notices and pays attention to. And then the third way is that Paul mentors Timothy and allows him to practice that leadership, to put that gift to use, and to gain experience and opportunities in ministry. Those three distinct building blocks of a family faith and a spiritual gifting, and then somebody paying attention and giving you opportunities. We all know that phrase, it takes a village. And that's part of what we're seeing here through Timothy's life. We have no reason to believe that Timothy doesn't have a relationship with his father just because he's not named in the text. There's no reason for us to believe that there's any tension or conflict in that relationship. And yet, God brought a male figure into Timothy's life to be a leader and an example and a teacher. It takes more than just the parents in any family for a kid to live out their true calling and who God is calling them to be. It takes a village. One of the ways that God brings those people into our lives that can bring out God's best in us is through the church. And we have those stories right here in our own church. Recently, a mother was telling me about her grown adult son and how his confirmation mentor from this church is still in contact with him, has followed his military careers over the years, and has even shown up for him in moments of like promotion and celebration. Another member was telling me a story about how a friend's father was one of their first like spiritual examples or spiritual mentors, and it was in a quiet way, but it offered an example of a silent, assured, steady faith. And it was something this person wanted to emulate as they grew up in the faith. In the back halls of our church, there's rows of confirmation pictures, decades of confirmation pictures. And along those rows, you will see the same face in many of those pictures, coming alongside middle school kids to teach their confirmation class, to invest in the next generation and pass on the faith. Right now, one of our small group leaders for our middle school kids is a dad of a teenager and a preteen, and we have mostly boys in this middle school group. And one of my favorite things that I am on the outside of, that I can't be a part of, is their relationship. The way the small group leader and these boys are spending time together and learning together and building memories and having jokes that I'm just on the outside of, because that small group leader can be something for those boys that I never can. All of these examples, they remind us that it can make a real significant difference in our faith life and in who we are becoming. To have people come in and step alongside our parents, step alongside the people who are raising us as we are continuing to grow up into who God is calling us to be. You might have a great dad. You might be a great dad, but that doesn't mean that great dads can be everything that you need or know everything that you need to know. Thank God the church gives us more dads so that we can have more examples of what it looks like to live like Jesus and have more examples of what it's like to lead people to Jesus. There's a video clip I was gonna share in this sermon that I think demonstrates this well, and it's from the TV series, This Is Us. And the clip, it went into too many different things. It could have been like the whole sermon was this video clip. But it's a white man who's adopted a black son, and there's this father-son moment in a karate gym where the karate teacher is talking about the responsibility of fatherhood, of raising up this young man, this boy, into being a strong young man. And the teacher tells him to get down and get into a push-up position and tells his kid to get on his back. And he starts doing push-ups. And the karate instructor is like asking him to make these promises, to be there and to never give up and to never stop pushing him and challenging him and making him the best man that he can be, right? And he starts to get tired, and the teacher's like, that's enough. And the dad still wants to keep going. And then it flashes to all of these different parts in the dad's parenting life with this kid. But one of the scenes that it cuts to is all the other dads in the room lining up next to that dad and taking over the push-ups. So the kid is like moving from one dad's back to another. And I think it's a beautiful image of the fact that it takes a village and it takes a strong and humble dad to admit that they can't be everything for their kids. It takes a strong parent to realize that they can't meet every need for their kids, that they don't know the answers to every question, and they don't know all that their kid might need to learn as they're growing up. I think there's an invitation for us in today's story about who it might be that could come alongside us in our parenting. Who may it have been that came alongside us in our parents' parenting journey to help us be the people that we are today? Thank God that the church gives us more dads to help us live like Jesus and become who God is calling us to be.